Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, today we're going to talk about a very important topic.
I'm very excited about this. This is a part of our cybersecurity series, and I cannot think of a better person to have this conversation with than this gentleman. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast from Checkpoint, Mr. Greg Wardis. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Well, before we get too far into things, Greg, can you share a little bit about Checkpoint? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so Checkpoint is a pure cyberplay software company. We're headquartered in Tel Aviv. We've got a corporate presence here in the Atlanta markets, and we serve anywhere from the traditional small business all the way up to the Fortune 500.
And then how do you serve them? What's the service?
My role is the account manager for the state of Georgia. So we talk to businesses in and around the state of Georgia about their cybersecurity practice, what their options are, and we provide assessments to give them a bigger picture as to what's available and how those holes can be filled.
Now, in cybersecurity, is that something that only impacts like the largest companies, or is that something that businesses of all sizes should be kind of paying attention?
Oh, geez. It's businesses of big and small. One of the stats I saw just last week was kind of staggering. Over 50% of the SMB or the small medium market had a breach in 2017, whether they're aware of it or not.
Ouch.
So it affects every single business that's out there.
So, but the solution for a Fortune 500 company, would it be a different solution than the small to mid-sized guy?
Without a doubt. Yeah. So, I mean, the traditional small business has kind of a cookie cutter approach to what their network may or may not look like. And then when you scale up to the Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, you've got folks scattered across the US or across the globe. You've got workers working remotely. And then just the sheer number of folks that are out there connecting to an environment just gives that many more opportunities for the bad guys to get in there.
And it's not just if I'm in e-commerce or I have credit cards. There's other reasons that I might be hacked.
Yeah, the evolution of cybersecurity and just the evolution of threats has gone from, if you have some sort of antivirus in place 10 years ago, you were probably okay. Now we've got mobile phones, tablets, all these different avenues that are connecting to a corporate environment. And those have become gateways for the black hat, the bad guys that are out there to access that data.
And the bad guy, incidentally, is no longer just the crafty teen in a hoodie, right? I mean, these are can be very well-organized bad actors, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, not just the evolution of threats, but the evolution of how these threats are deployed has come a long way. And what I mean by that is the threats years ago used to take really talented guys and maybe even a team or a network of folks to deploy what it is they're trying to infiltrate. And unfortunately, as technology has evolved, the means of deploying these attacks has gotten easier. And sadly, the technology to do that has gotten cheaper. So it's just made it easier for everybody that's out there.
Can you share a little bit about ransomware? I've seen that term thrown about recently in the news. Can you talk about how that impacts a small business or a business of all sizes, really?
Yeah, and it truly is businesses of all size. The ransomwares are lumped into what's considered a zero-day attack. So when a business of any size is hit with something that's deemed as ransomware, their data has been locked out. And until either a ransom has been paid or if the folks have done their due diligence to have a savvy backup offsite that is completely separated from their day-to-day network, there are not a whole lot of choices other than to pay the ransom. And then at the end of the day, you're crossing your fingers that
they don't come back.
Well, at least they unlock it. I mean, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But It's just a bad place to be if you're not prepared.
Now, is that an argument for putting all your stuff in the cloud? Or is that not related?
I guess they're kind of co-related. When you get to the point of evaluating moving either some or all of your business to the cloud, there are a couple of questions to be asked. And a big misnomer is that if I've moved my data or my infrastructure to the cloud, that I'm safe. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. The big providers of the world, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, the 800-pound gorillas that are out there, they all do provide a phenomenal service as far as being able to put your business into the cloud. But what they promise you is uptime. And uptime is not security. So you can be up but still hacked. So putting the proper precautions in place and the security around that cloud is, unfortunately, in 2018, it's imperative.
So here's a real tactical thing that happened and a chance for me to pat myself on the back. I think I'll check in with you. We have a small team here, but between our studio partners and our team here, I mean, we're looking at a dozen folks. Well, plus contractors, probably closer to 15 or 20. And someone in that circle, I can't remember who it was, shot me a quick note. They needed to get into, I don't know if it was the back end of the website or one of the apps that we use, but they needed the credentials. Right? They're like, oh, what are our credentials? And I almost, but I did not, Greg, I almost just replied in an email, you know, username, password. And I got to thinking, with all this cybersecurity buzz you hear, that's probably not the best way to handle it. So I picked up the phone and called.
Yeah, I mean, still today, email is the number one avenue for folks getting either hacked or gateways into, you know, bad apples getting into your network. I was talking with a client just last week. They had an email that was very well crafted. It was a phishing email and it was crafted around March Madness. And a spam or a hacking email came in and it said, hey, new company policy. We've been made aware that there is a tournament pool going around. Please click here to review our policy from the company, from the corporate website. And there was a deadline. Make sure you have this done by the end of the week. And they had all the right verbiage as far as the disclaimers at the bottom. And it looked legit. And they sent it on to their IT team. And sure enough, it was a phishing email. So they're getting crafty. And wow, you had it right. You know, pick up the phone and call.
Now, in that case, it looked legitimate. A lot of times, at least the ones towards consumers, are almost purposely, comically not good looking, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the threats have evolved so much from when it used to be, hey, I'm stranded in Nigeria, can you send me some money? You know, I think we've all seen that. There's been plenty of memes out there that have depicted that. But they're getting really crafty. They're grabbing logos. They're grabbing the disclaimers at the bottom of emails. And it's not always happening overseas. It could be, like, you know, you guys mentioned earlier, it could be the guy sending his basement with his hoodie on. I mean, there's no telling anymore.
And then sometimes when you roll over the link where you think it's going to the legitimate website, you see that the URL is almost, it's close, and it could be construed as the real one, but it's a little off.
Yeah, so they've gotten so crafty to where they're picking up on not just the verbiage in the email, but as to what the landing pages may or may not look like and what the verbiage in the link is. And it's just one or two characters that need to be changed for them to have access to grabbing your data. And you can't be careful enough. You really have to check and double check.
Now, how does our reliance on mobile impact this? Does that make us even more vulnerable?
I don't know if it makes us more vulnerable, but it does open the number of gateways into a corporate network. You know, I'm sitting here with a phone in my pocket, and if I needed to access data that resides on Checkpoint's network, I have the ability to dial in from my phone and look at certain files. And I've been with other companies that give you kind of that carte blanche access to do the same. So having a mobile protection around your endpoints is, again, in 2018, it's not really an option anymore, because the ability to either hack or what they call the man in the middle attack, mobility is on the rise, you know, big time. And one of the other stats, and I hate to sit here spouting off stats, but one of the stats I saw just a few months back is that 100% of businesses are infected with mobile malware. And it's not very often that you see stats out there that have 100%.
Right.
I mean, 99 point, pick your poison on the number of nines, but very rarely do you see 100%. And that's just, we use them every day. We all have them in our pocket and we're using them for personal use, but most of us are using it for a business use. And there is that channel into the corporate network.
All right. So clearly you do not have responsibility for going out and creating the marketplace. Clearly there's plenty to be done.
Yes.
So much to be done. In fact, it's not just only, you know, Greg and Checkpoint. You guys are working through a network of partners that know specifically how to address this proliferation of threats. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, so Checkpoint is a 100% channel organization. So we've got a wide variety of channel partners that we work through. So when it comes time to deploying boots on the ground, if you've been hacked or you've got some sort of virus on the network, then we do have a huge network of partners that have a very deep bench and a very talented crew that act as the boots on the ground. And they're supported by the folks that sit in Israel and across the globe at Checkpoint. So you kind of get the best of both worlds.
So in terms of, and maybe because I'm from a small business, I just don't understand the depth and breadth of it. But in terms of having conversations and educating the marketplace and helping think through who you can help and when and where and how and why, is it the channel partner that's out there talking to the Business Radio X's and the, you know, Bank of America's, or is it Checkpoint talking to them, or is it the channel partner?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah. So
okay.
We'll go out, and my responsibility is of growing the business for Checkpoint is kind of twofold. I work hand in hand with a wide variety of a Georgia based or Atlanta based partners. But I'm also leveraging my network of the folks that I know and just trying to spread the message of how far the evolvement of threats have come. And I hate to say it, but you get the opportunity to show these folks where their shortcomings are with their security practice. And once that conversation starts, we can make the decision as to which partner fits, you know, the solution best, and then truly bring the best solution to the table.
Okay, but you're my vision of the. You're my quarterback. Yeah, if I'm an end user, I you're my quarterback, and you're helping decide when and how to deploy different resources and get me connected with people who are very specific organizations that have specific expertise and experience in a particular domain related to this.
Yeah, so that's probably a good analogy. You know, we've got this tool that allows us to run an assessment, and once the assessment comes back, we've got either, you know, if it's cloud or mobility or the firewall itself, we've got partners that specialize in each one of these areas. So we'll bring in, you know, the correct partner to fit that solution. So quarterback's probably a good analogy there.
Have you got anybody in that network, or have you put any thought into just helping you manage the human side of this? Because I'm operating under the impression that you got to get this technical stuff, you got to get those ducks in a row, but you also got to educate all the dumb stones. Hey, if you get that email, even if it is someone you know, don't do that. The human link could screw this up too, right?
Without a doubt. And unfortunately, you know, you can put all the best technology in place, you can have all the processes in place. But at the end of the day, if your users are not educated and they're not trained, unfortunately, you can't undo some of the things from the human component of this. That is so, so true.
Now, are there certain industries that have to pay attention to this more than others?
Yeah, I mean, the big one, at least in the last few months with GDPR becoming such a there was a timeline. So they had to have certain things in place, healthcare, insurance, anybody that's dealing with offices overseas is having to put in the GDPR compliance part of things. And that has proven to be, at least from my experience in the medical and insurance verticals right now, And the deadline, I think, was a couple weeks ago. So,
and then financial, I'm sure, is always got to pay attention to this.
Yeah, they are knocking on our door every day. We've got a number of the largest logos in the world as far as the financial institutions are concerned. And the email example I gave a few minutes ago about the email spoof, that was a financial institution. So yeah, they are the number one industry that is being targeted.
So now walk us through what it looks like when you're an engagement with you guys. When they, I would imagine it usually happens after a bad thing happened, or some of these people proactive and they're getting ahead of things.
It's probably the 80-20 in the world of IT, the world of security. A lot of folks don't act until an event. And as much as we can preach from the rooftops of you've got to be prepared and you've got to be proactive, a lot of folks are just content with what they've got in place at the moment, and they react versus being proactive. But we also have a number of folks that have taken security as serious as they possibly can, and have a roadmap that explains to the shareholders and to the board members and the decision makers as to what their security practice is for the current time and for the next couple of years. And those are the conversations that are kind of fun, because there's a lot of attention on the emerging technologies, not just around the basic firewall component of it all.
So now, is there any low-hanging fruit that a lay person or a beginner in this can start looking at their own website, that they can at least understand that, okay, this is where I'm vulnerable, this is where I'm not?
Well, checkpoint.com has just a plethora of resources as far as white papers, case studies. There's even some best practices for the SMB all the way up to the enterprise. As far as other websites that are out there, there's a thousand of them. So I wouldn't know where to point you to one or two specifically.
But is there things that I can go, do I have, you know, malware on my computer?
Yeah,
or my
phone?
Or is that, or it seems like that could be ripe with bad actors.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a big understatement. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of really good tools that come to mind from an end user perspective. Malwarebytes is probably one of the easiest to deploy. And from an end user perspective, the results are very easy to navigate. And if there's an end user out there that's wondering if their computer is either infected or maybe has some kind of kludgy things that need to be remediated, Malwarebytes is a good, quick, free starting point.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you about working with all these channel partners. What is that like? What do you like the best about it? And just walk us through what that day-to-day existence is like.
Yeah, so because Checkpoint is a global company, they have done a fantastic job of partnering with the folks that have either a very established security practice or have put a true roadmap together that says they want to go into the security space, you know, head first. And we've got, 15 or 20 really great partners in the Atlanta area that can either talk about the cloud component or the mobility component of the various parts of security. And they bring a set of expertise to the table that just outmatches the folks that are just kind of dipping their toes in the water and kind of offer security as an afterthought. The folks that truly put security at the forefront of their business have invested not only in their folks, but in their business processes and their solutions. And those conversations tend to take a very different approach. And the outcome is eye-opening, because so many folks don't realize how many holes they have in the network, sadly.
Not sure I want to know really.
Yeah.
So you set the bar very high. I'm operating under the impression, you know, that there's some hoops to jump through to become a channel partner with Checkpoint. But the other side of that is, it sounds to me like in talking with you both before we went on air and now that we're on air, that you guys are so heavily invested in helping them meet their market, serve their market, equipping them with whatever they need from Checkpoint's vantage.
Very true. So a little bit of background as far as Checkpoint is concerned. We've been in business for 25 years, and we've got this stigma around Checkpoint that we only do firewalls. Well, the name of the company is Checkpoint Software. We are truly a software company. Our CEO did, in fact, invent the firewall. So
how's that for pedigree?
Yeah.
That's so great.
We can certainly hang our hat on that, but the evolvement of, you know, 25 years ago, you put up a firewall and that was best practice. And now today you've got folks carrying around cell phones everywhere you look and tablets. I mean, I myself carry a laptop, a cell phone, and a tablet. I'm one employee and I've got three avenues of you know, accessing the network, which that, you know, relates to three vulnerability components. So the involvement just from being the firewall company now to a global leader in security is because our CEO is still 100% active in the business, and he's a developer at heart, and he has a lot to say into what we're doing next, what we go to market with, and we've become, you know, a world leader in not just the firewall space, but mobility, cloud, endpoint, you name it. And it's great to be part of a company where the CEO has so much passion for a very specific component, and that's all we do. And our competitors, I'm not going to name anybody, but our competitors, they're not a pure cybersecurity play list of competitors. They also do a wide variety of other technologies versus Checkpoint is completely 100% focused on security, and that's it.
So now, can you share a story of maybe walk us through what the story would illustrate? They had a problem, they called you, and the problem was solved.
You don't have to name the company if you don't want to.
Right? No, that's fine.
Just what does it rhyme with?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
We've got on our website at checkpoint.com, if anybody were to click on that that website, we do have a button on the top right-hand corner that is, it's a question mark button that says under attack question mark. And we've got a team of dedicated security engineers that sit in a wide variety of places across the U.S. and at our headquarters in Israel. And they're getting and fielding those phone calls on a day-to-day basis. And we've had Fortune 100 down to the SMB market where people are calling in. And especially last year when the WannaCry virus was so prevalent across the States and across Europe, we were fielding those calls day in and day out. And our resources go to work. And they ask questions later, and they make sure that the problem is addressed, and we can start to provide them with a true roadmap as to what's going to get them from the spot they're in right now in the panic mode to a truly secure environment. There's 100 of them.
And what's the time? Like, say I do have a problem, I contact you guys. Is this something that can be solved in a minute, an hour, a day? It takes months.
Well, there's been cases that are continually ongoing because of the size of the network, the severity of the attack, and the wide variety of channels that, you know, allow access into the network, versus some of the smaller folks that have called up and they've got, you know, maybe a patch that was missing, and we can quickly identify that and have them remediated in a matter of minutes, and sometimes even less than that.
So is there really even a sales and marketing effort for you guys and your channel partner? It just sounds to me like business should be coming over the transom. Or is it a crowded enough marketplace that you do need to take some real effort to educate, distinguish yourself, make sure the market knows where your corner of the sandbox is? Or
no, that's a fantastic question.
I thought it took me a minute to get it out, but I thought it was a Marv question.
No, I'll be honest. When the folks that are recognizable household names, when they make the news and they make the headlines, and we're sitting here in downtown Atlanta, and Atlanta made the news, you know, last 2 months, our phones do ring a lot more frequently, and there's times where people probably should have called a lot sooner than they did. But we spend a lot of our time going out and educating. We don't really look at ourselves as a sales role. We're really more of just educators as to what's going on and what's taking place. The evolvement of threats has gone from the first generation of a basic virus and you put in some sort of antivirus and you're okay, all the way up now to what they're calling the polymorphic threats. And those are essentially threats that have an identifiable, basically signature attached to them. And they change that signature. So without the correct technology, these Gen 5 threats are going to make it through and really attack some businesses unless you've got the appropriate technology in place. And unfortunately, 2/3 of the market that's out there right now has the prevention model of protecting against Gen 2 and Gen 3. So you've got that 60% of businesses that are lacking the Gen 4 and the Gen 5. And I mean, last year was just an eye-opener with WannaCry and Petya. Those are the Gen 5 global large-scale attacks that they're out there and they're using state-sponsored tools and they're scary. I mean, they're a real deal.
So if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I'm relatively active on Twitter. Last name is Wartes, W-A-R-T-E-S. First name is Greg, G-R-E-G. And I can be found on either one of those two channels.
And the website again is checkpoint.com, C-H-E-C-K-P-O-I-N-T.com. And on the website, in the front page on the upper right, you can see an exclamation point in a triangle that says under attack. So if you are under attack, there is a place to go.
Yeah, if you're under attack, you're seeing something a little off, visit that website and let's see if we can help you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Greg.
Guys, thank you so much. Much appreciated.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.